It seems that wherever Jesus went, he encountered pain. All kinds of pain. Physical pain, emotional pain, spiritual pain, distress of all kinds. Wherever he went, he encountered people's pain. And more often than not, he reached out to touch the pain that he encountered. And it became his own. And he experienced it as his own. In this morning's passage from Mark's Gospel, the author emphasizes this. He says, "As soon as they left the synagogue, they went to Simon and Andrew's house and encountered Simon's mother-in-law, who was in bed with a fever." Jesus touched her and healed her pain. And then, at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick and possessed with demons. And then there's that marvelous line in Mark's Gospel. He says, can you picture this? The whole city gathered around the door. The whole city gathered around the door. And he cured many of them. He touched them and healed their pain. In the morning, early in the morning, while it was still dark in the morning, Jesus stole away to have some time alone in prayer, but they hunted him down. "Everyone is searching for you," they said to Jesus. There was undoubtedly more distress, more conflict, more pain for Jesus to encounter. But he didn't go back. He went on to other towns and villages to preach and to heal. It seems that wherever Jesus went, he encountered pain. All kinds of pain, physical, emotional, spiritual. There was plenty of pain to go around in those days. And the world hasn't changed a bit in that regard. In most places in the world, the distress and the sickness and the pain that people experience, that families experience, is open for all to see. But in our part of the world, we have the benefits of privacy. We can go easily behind closed doors, and there we can hide our distresses and our needs and our pains, but they're still there. They haven't gone away. They're just not visible to everyone. And I think because of that, because of the gift that privacy, the comforts of privacy in our culture, I think we tend to underestimate the amount of pain that there is among us, physical pain, emotional pain, spiritual pain. I think we tend to underestimate it because we don't always see it. But it's still there. Life is grand and glorious and fun, but it still hurts sometimes. And for some people, it hurts all the time. The pain of an inflamed appendix can be cured, and that pain will never come back. But the loss of a friend, the death of a child, or a parent, or a spouse, a debilitating injury, a hurtful rejection, that pain may never go away. It won't always be the same. But one of the problems of being human is that we cannot will ourselves to forget. The harder you try to forget it, the better you remember it. And the pain stays with us. At the end of the early service, one of the members of this congregation said to me, "You know, today was the day that my husband died, some years ago. And on the Sunday before he died, we were in church together and we received communion together like we did today. And today was the day that he died. And I said, well, then you know what I'm talking about, don't you? And she said, yes. There are some of you who will want to believe that Jesus' mission in life was to cure all our pain and to do away with it and to make life fun and comfortable and pleasant every day. And because Jesus was and is a healer, that is often possible. God works through many people, through physicians and nurses and counselors and pastors and friends, to heal our pain. But all of it is never gone. Even Jesus couldn't take it all away. And Mark is very careful to tell us that. That when all who were sick or possessed were brought to Jesus, he healed many of them, but not all of them. And when they were looking for him in the morning to come back and take more of their pain away, Jesus went on to other places. He didn't take it all away. There's a wonderful story that comes out of the Second World War. After the Battle of the Bulge across Central Europe, a German officer was describing the capture of an American unit early in the fighting. This unit had in its possession a box, simple cardboard box, but inside the box was a cake. And what was remarkable about the cake was that it had been sent to an American soldier from his home in Boston. It had reached him on the battlefields of Central Europe, and the cake was still fresh. The German officer said, "I know it was fresh because I ate it." But then he went on to describe his feelings when he realized that the Americans had the resources to fly a cake across the Atlantic, to bring it into the middle of Europe onto a battlefield in the midst of a global war, and still the cake was fresh. He said that he knew then that his army would never defeat an enemy that had such resources as that. It is not that God through Christ takes away the battle, but instead God provides us with resources which the battle cannot overcome. It is not that life is without risks, without dangers, without conflict, and without pain. But we must not allow those risks and those conflicts to take the joy and hope out of us. Though God through Christ does not take away the battle, he provides us with resources which the battle cannot overcome. The great architect Frank Lloyd Wright was fond of an incident that occurred early in his life. He said it seemed insignificant at the time, but it was a profound influence on him as he grew and as he grew old. During the winter when he was 9 years old, he said, he went walking across a snow-covered field with his reserved, no-nonsense uncle. Everyone needs to have an uncle like that. As the two of them reached the far side of the field, he and his uncle stopped at the fence. And he turned the boy around. And he said, "Look at the tracks in the snow." "My tracks," he said, "are straight and true as an arrow's flight from one side of the field to our destination on the other. But your tracks, young man, meander all over the field. Notice how you wandered aimlessly from the fence to the cattle and from the cattle to the woods and then back again and finally to the end of the journey. And you see how my tracks are aimed directly at their goal. There is a lesson in that for you, young man," he said. Well, many years later, the world-famous architect liked to tell how the experience had contributed to his philosophy of life. "I determined right then, Frank Lloyd Wright would say with a twinkle in his eye, I had determined right then not to miss the things in life that my uncle had missed. Frank Lloyd Wright saw in those tracks what his uncle could not see. It is easy to let the demands of life, the distresses of life, the conflicts and the pain of life to keep us from the joys of living. It's easy to let the risks and the uncertainties hold us back. It seems that wherever Jesus went, he encountered pain. And more often than not, he reached out and he touched the pain that he encountered and it became his own. This is the most incredible event in all of human history, that God, the God of the universe, the Lord of the ages, that God came to us in Christ for the purpose of touching our pain and making it his own. And thus, healing becomes a possibility for us and for our world. When you think about the people who have given you hope and who have increased the strength of your soul, don't you discover that it was not those who are enforcers or moralists in life, those no-nonsense uncles like Frank Lloyd Wright's straight-walking uncle, but it was those who were able to embrace you in your distress, like your mom and your dad did when you fell and skinned your knee. Those who were able to touch your pain and to have enough compassion to make it their own. Those are the ones who give us hope and increase the strength of our soul. Those who do not run away from our hurting, but touch us with compassion. They are the ones who bring healing and new strength. The incredible reality is this, that God came to us in Christ for the purpose of touching our pain and making it his own. And that is what we celebrate when we move to the Lord's table, as we will in just a moment. That God in Christ enters our world, enters into our conflict, our distress, our brokenness, our pain, our disappointments, and our sin. He makes them his own. And wholeness and healing and new life are possible for us. All because God was willing to touch us in our pain and to show us how to do so for others. This is the great miracle of the gospel. This is the miracle of the ages in human life. This is what we celebrate when we worship, and especially when we do so at the Lord's table. Thanks be to God. Amen.